This past week, I was asked a number of times, who should I vote for in the election? Is that a trick question? I didn't fall into that because I know after 14 years of priesthood and every election year, the bishop and the diocesan council, we can never, as far as publicly, the priests endorse a particular candidate. But what the church does is helps to form and give direction so that our Catholic faith can shape our thinking when it comes to a particular candidate. And so what I would like to do, because my answer in those questions is you have to, what the church teaches, you have to follow your conscience. But what does that mean, to follow your conscience? Well, this is who I feel like I want to vote for, right? Or, you know, I determine my own criteria, you know, and I follow that. We could say that that would be following conscience, but that's not the Catholic understanding of conscience. There's a process and work that has to be done in regards to following one's conscience. So, first of all, conscience, what the church teaches and what we believe about conscience is it's the voice of God working in the soul, all right? So that's the way that we have communion and connection with the Lord, is that, you know, God's face shines upon us, as we heard in the earlier, in the opening entrance antiphon at Mass. And it's always been kind of understood that when the Lord's face shining on the person is kind of the natural law in the soul. So our conscience is what? Well, it's a seed of divine life that's within us. And when it comes to what God has given us in our conscience, it's not that we automatically know what is right and wrong in every situation. What's given to us in our conscience is basically the dynamic of do good and avoid evil. So that's what we're given. So what does that mean for us? It means that there has to be work and formation that goes into forming one's conscience. How many times have we heard that term, forming one's conscience? So there's work to do. And here's the reality. Actually, if we choose not to form our conscience is going to be formed. Because in some way, whether we're getting it from our parents, our peers, the news, our conscience is being formed because those things are forming our values and our beliefs. Does that make sense? So you can't get away from the formation of conscience. That means that you can have an ill-formed conscience or a good-formed conscience. So how do we do this? How do we move forward to hear the voice of God to make, you know, a decision, especially when it comes to, you know, the elections coming up? And what we believe as Catholics is responsible citizens, that we have a duty. We have a service that we have a responsibility to carry out in voting. In fact, the Catechism speaks of three duties, the civil duties that we have. One is to pay taxes. Boo. Okay, no. One is to pay taxes, defend our country, and to vote. Okay, so the three civil duties. So you can kind of think about that as the service that we're called to carry out. And I like to put this all in the context of the stewardship way of life, because we are disciples seeking to live the stewardship way of life. The fourth pillar of stewardship is service, right? But we don't jump to service first. We have to work a few other things before we get to the point of serving, before we get to the point of action. So what are the pillars that go before service? Well, we have hospitality, and that's the first pillar, and that's the first activity that has to be worked. So think about that in relationship to, you know, the decision on who to vote for in many elections are going on in the next few weeks. So what is hospitality? Hospitality presumes an openness, a receptivity, a welcoming. So not a closed-mindedness. Okay, and we kind of have an example of that in the Pharisee in the gospel, right? That he went to the Lord, he was praying, right? But he prayed in a self-righteous way, right? He was, and in fact, in that self-righteous way, he ended up being closed off. And this pillar is probably the most overlooked pillar of the stewardship way of life. But as Bishop Gerber would say, it's essential in the sense that without it, you won't have the other pillars. If you don't have open doors, you won't have anybody in the church. It's kind of, I kind of like to think of hospitality in regards to oxygen. You don't really miss it until it's not there. You know, have an experience of not of an absence of hospitality, of openness, of receptivity. And so you think about that even on the many issues, that there has to be an openness. We heard in that first reading of, you know, God listening to the widows, the oppressed, those on the fringes of society. That's a hospitable attitude when it comes to looking at life and our relationship with others. And having an openness to be led by God in my decision making. Because if I don't have an openness, a receptivity, then I'm not going to be willing to listen to the voice of God, because that's what I'm seeking, right, when it comes to following my conscience. So so cultivating that a hospitality in our hearts. So what's the second movement now as we go forward as far as this process of coming to the our decision to, when it comes to the election? The second pillar is prayer. You know, we've heard all kinds of debates, all kinds of discussions on many different issues, and we hear candidates, you know, presenting their views, and we people with very strong and sometimes vehement feelings speaking on election matters. How many of us have spent time actually praying for our country, praying for our candidates, praying for guidance and direction in our hearts so that we might make the right decision? So you think about that. The responsorial psalm, what was the frame for the responsorial psalm today? The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. And in the Old Testament, the poor were not just those who were financially without. The poor is anybody who is without in any particular situation. Whenever we're not enough, we are in a poor situation. So the sinner, the public tax collector, he wasn't poor financially, but he prayed as a poor man that he was not worthy even to lift his eyes to heaven. And so, you know, think about that as far as the dilemmas and the challenges in our own country right now. It's like, how do we overcome these obstacles, the difficulties and challenges even around, like, who to choose as a candidate? I'm poor, and I need your help. I need your guidance, Lord. I reminded this past week, Father Curtis and I were out at the Spiritual Life Center for the priest convocation, so it's a week long with our bishop and with all the priests of the diocese, and our diocesan council, who is a parishioner here at Blessed Sacrament, he was sharing with us that we were probably living in, you know, somewhat tumultuous times. The legal representatives for the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, they present briefs to the Supreme Court on particular issues to ensure, you know, religious freedom. In the average year, they present one brief on a particular issue because something's in jeopardy, right? This year, 5 briefs. Okay, so there's something going on. So we need help. And what do we do? As poor, recognizing our poverty, our lack of sufficiency, we turn to the Lord. And guess what? When we pray like that, he hears our cry. He hears our cry. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Okay, so that's the second step as we're working the process to get to the point of service, fulfilling our duty of voting as responsible citizens and Catholics. The third point is formation, and formation is going to be very important, the formation of conscience. Like I said, conscience given to us, as far as being made in God's image, basically what we have is do good, avoid evil. So there has to be work to be done to cultivate what it means, what is the good, what is evil in our particular situations and circumstances. And so there's all kinds of influences that we experience, our culture, our peer groups, the media, our families, they all influence our beliefs, right? The Catholic schools, and they're all forces to be reckoned with. But to be attentive of where things are coming from. I never presume because our kids went to, you know, a person went through Catholic schools that they have had a very well-formed conscience. Because I know that secular forces often get in, which are contrary, some secular forces and beliefs that are very contrary to Catholic teaching are powerful in the lives of these young people, right? So where do we go? What do we do? Well, the church, you know, part of the church's responsibility and what Christ passed on, his power to the apostles, he gave them teaching authority. So to give us direction. So there's principles that we can apply. I don't know if you're familiar with, everybody should be getting the Catholic Advance, but the bishop's been writing some articles on the election, and the Catholic bishops of the of Kansas have put together about a 4 to 5 minute video. It's very solid in content. Not all that animated, but it's very solid in content. Darn, this homily is being recorded. Okay, so, oh well. Guess it's going to be sent to ours. All right. But the content's very, very solid, and they go through and talk about all of the different issues that we have to, you know, consider, and they give examples like even, you know, the environment, immigration, care, health care. But then Bishop Brungardt, he talks about, like, there's certain issues that we have to be very united on that are non-negotiables, you might say. And he brings up the matter of abortion about and describes how over 1 million babies are killed in the womb each year. And he says that when we vote, we keep this catastrophe utmost in our mind. So they give great direction, and it's on our Facebook page, the link to that video, and we'll make sure that it gets out into all of our social media. But you can just Google Catholic Bishops of Wichita or Catholic Bishops of Kansas video on voting, and you'll be able to pull it up. So if we work those three steps, we come with that receptivity, openness, the sense of welcome and welcoming God's direction, and be attentive to the needs of those around us, a sense of our own poverty, and then and asking the Lord for prayer because he hears the cry of the poor, really committing ourselves to solid formation in our discernment in the particular issue, on the particular issues and the particular candidates, and then we'll move. I tell you, if you work those three steps, you'll come away clear and confident about who you need to vote for. I had a couple people after Mass yesterday, you know, that didn't really help, Father. You tell me who to vote for. Well, work the steps. We're not here to like impose something upon a person. We believe that as we are made in God's image, that we have intellect and will, and that the voice of God is conscience. And if we work what God has given us, we'll come to clarity in the direction that we need to go.